Evangelism is essential. You know, they say you're supposed to be behind the cross. I could step over here and just preach behind the cross. That's a little left over from the wedding yesterday, so pray for Connor and Jordan as they start a new time of their life. So if anything had to be left over, that's something good, isn't it, to be left there? It reminds us. And then you look at the screen and you see the cross again. Well, we started out in January, a little refresher course here, because I know Bill's been doing things up here like this, and I want to kind of get us back on track. I'm just kidding, Bill. I'm sorry. Okay, started off with, okay, what's our purpose? What's our vision? What's our mission in January? What does God want us to do now as an individual, as your family, as a church body? What is our purpose? What is our mission? What are we going to be about? And we looked at the Word of God, and it said some things very strongly to us, and we knew already, and we were reminded that He says, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and your mind. That's our total being. It comes before family. It comes before our job. It comes before all the activities of life. And we are to enjoy life to its fullest. He said, I want to give you abundant life even here on earth. And then I'll take you to heaven, but I want you to put me first. That's what God says. So I want you to love me with all your heart, soul, your mind. Then we kept digging, and it says, I want you to love your neighbor as yourself, and then to spread the gospel here in this community and around the world. So here's some purposes and visions and missions of what God would have us to do. Then we got to the point, too, that we've heard before, but yet it's important to keep us on task, to keep us on mission, to keep us on purpose of loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, loving our neighbors, ourselves, and spreading the gospel. We need some principles to help us do that. So how are we going to do those things? We're going to make prayer a priority. You remember those sermons? I hope. Discipleship's got to be definite. And today, evangelism is essential. So it's not new terms, but it's terms that we've got to see. It's good to preach about them, good to study them, good to discuss them. But the big question of the day and of the year is, are we doing them? Am I making prayer a priority in my individual life? And are you making prayer a priority in your individual life? If you're a ministry head, a leader here, are you making prayer a priority over that ministry that you head up? Are we doing it as a church, making prayer a priority to keep us on our mission, our purpose, and the vision that God would have us to do? Are we making discipleship definite? Am I learning and growing in the Lord and becoming His disciple? And if you say, well, I've been doing that for 50 years, then my question to us is, who are you discipling then? Like Connor and Jordan got married yesterday. If you know them well, pick them up on your prayer list. Pick them up on your discipling list. Talk to them, encourage them, and help them learn how to live for the Lord. So who are you discipling? And then we get to evangelism as essential. If you'll look at Matthew 16 on the screen, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, doesn't that go against the world already? That goes against what the world's been telling us for years at the very beginning of the Scripture. Because it's not to deny myself of anything, to just follow self, to follow what I want. Don't pay attention to anybody else. Certainly don't pay attention to this God you can't even see. How do you even know He exists, is what the world is saying. But we know by Scripture, then Jesus said to His disciple, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world? Now think about that. If you gain the whole world, yet forfeits his soul. Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Just how much time in your life do you spend on thinking about your soul? Thinking about, is there life after death? Well, we know there is. Am I ready to meet Jesus? All those questions that sometimes we don't want to think about. But if to gain the whole world, he says, and yet forfeit his soul, what can a man give in exchange for his soul? What is it worth? What can we give? What is the price of a soul? My own. Okay, I can think about myself. There's just me. Then the family unit that God's placed me in, the church family unit, and the people outside the walls that are lost and will tell you, no, I'm not a Christian, I'm not a Christ follower, I'm not whatever, and I'm not going to church and all that. What is their soul worth to you? What is their soul worth to me? Well, if we're followers of Jesus, if we're going back to what he said, that our mission, purpose, and vision, the things that he has said for us to do, number one, to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. So we got to do that first. We personally, one-on-one with God, got to learn that we've got to love him with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbors, ourselves. And if we're going to look at the price of a soul, you can't put a number on it. And yet there's people we know that are lost and not worshiping God. So they're without hope. And we come to church and we live our lives and we serve the Lord and we do good things. And you're good people and all that. We worship, we sing today. Every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe it and you believe it. We sing it. I thank God for those songs. And we worship and we sing and we preach. And then we go out the doors and we seem to forget that people without Christ are dying and going to hell. Well, we can't talk about hell anymore because that might offend someone. Jesus talked about hell, and he talked about it more than he did heaven. So, what's the price of that soul in your family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace? What is the price of that soul? We'll go to work, we'll go to school, we'll go wherever we go this week. We'll run into people on vacation. We'll run into people wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, that don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And that means they're lost and they're going to step out into eternity to a place called hell and they'll be lost forever and forever and forever. What is the price of that soul? And do I even care? Do you even care about their soul and where they'll end up in eternity? Well, sure, we're to care about it because Jesus said back to love him first with all of our heart, soul, and our mind, to love our neighbors, ourselves. Go spread this gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, around the whole world. So we're to care about Clarkdale and Mississippi, our own country, and even the whole world. That's what Jesus said for us to care about. And certainly, we've got to do that. Here's a bit of history for you, and you'll know it soon as I start reading it. It was May 10, 1940. Great fear swept over the streets of Amsterdam. Hitler's army was invading the Netherlands, Belgium, and Europe. And we have World War II. 3 days later, and here's what you're going to remember. Churchill stood before Parliament, and he said, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, sweat, and tears. You ask what is our policy? I will say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all of our might and with all the strength God can give us." You remember that. You've read it. We hear it today when we're in certain topics, and that was back in 1940. Churchill had a passion. He meant what he said. You can hear it in these words. "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, sweat, and tears. You ask what's our policy? I will say it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all of our might and with all the strength God can give us." He understood what freedom was. And we understand what freedom is in the spirit. He understood what freedom was in his situation. And he said, "I'm declaring war on Hitler." And here we go. His statement went down in history. You recognize it as soon as I started reading it, probably. And there's a declaration here that we need to make. We need to say that no matter what the world is doing around us, that evangelism will be essential. We've got to come up with new ways. We've got the best story that's ever been told. We know Jesus and His salvation work, but we must constantly be coming up with new ways to spread it. Because people don't run in here like they used to years ago. We've got to go out there to them. So help us and help me. And let's pray and make prayer a priority and discipleship definite so that evangelism can be essential and we go out to the people. So what will we do? Declare war? Churchill did. And because of the freedom of the countries, what will we declare war on? Some people today don't even believe there's a spiritual warfare. It's like an ostrich with his head in the sand, and they think, well, all this stuff's just happening around me. It can't be have anything to do with spiritual warfare. Well, it does. You've got light and you've got dark. You've got Christ and you've got a devil. And they're in constant battle for the souls of men and women. And church attendance here, church attendance over there, church attendance around our whole country is going down, down, down. But let me tell you, it's got to be broken. It needs to be broken here. It needs to be broken in our land. And we are the people of God who serve a supernatural God that we must lean on Him and not everything of the world. So let's declare war on the enemy that would steal souls of boys and girls and men and women. Let's declare war ourselves with the power of Jesus that we will reach the lost. So we're in church, we're doing that part today, but will the Word of God, will this message get from our head to our heart? Will we, when we have an opportunity today, fall on the altar before God and say, increase my soul burden? Will we say, Lord, help me to have a greater soul burden? Help me to see the lost as truly lost people going to hell? Or will we just say, well, I came to church like I'm supposed to, and I went home? We need that greater soul burden. Well, Jesus said, the value of a human soul. Nothing more valuable. Pay attention to your own soul. Pay attention to your own walk with the Lord and help others. Verse 26, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus Christ came for this very purpose, as you well know. He came, he was born, he died, he rose again. Everything that he was about was this right here for a soul of mankind. So God has a passion for souls, and we do too. We need to have a greater passion. John 3:16, everybody can quote it. Best known scripture around the world, for God so loved the world. Here's that love again, that he gave his only begotten son. So here's the love, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave. And we know that, and the world knows that scripture better than any scripture around the world. The love, the passion, it's there. And the apostles took hold of that many, many years ago. And they went to preach around the world as they knew it. The first century church, they said, I've got that burden, I've got that passion, and I'm going to do it. So no trip will cost too much if I can win a soul. No sacrifice will be too great if I can win a soul. So that was the first century church. In 2018, what is our thought about that? What is our thought about it? Is it too much? Well, it takes too much money to go over here across the water to witness and to preach. And well, what's it going to cost? What's the price of a soul in Asia worth? Well, it would be too much trouble for me to witness to the guy at work, because in the workplace I'm not supposed to do that. And he might get offended, and all this terminology today of being politically correct, and I better not do that because I might get fired or I might whatever. What is the price of the soul worth? At work, across the ocean, for them no sacrifice was too great. No expense was too great for a soul. Will you write a letter to a lost person? A note? Hey, I love you. I've been thinking of you. Matter of fact, I've been praying for you. Love to see you in church with us on Sunday. What's that going to take you? 5 minutes to do the whole thing? And then would you pray for that name day in and day out? Well, you say, well, I'm not Jesus Christ. I'm not the apostles. That's exactly right, and I'm not either. But we are Christ's followers. And we're to do what he's telling us to do. And if Jesus lives in my heart, if he lives in my heart, then I am a changed person. Now, do I have a lot to learn? Sure, we all do. Are we at different stages in our walk with God? Sure we are. But if Jesus lives within our heart, there must be some compassion. There must be something about this soul business. There must be a burden for lost people, or I would question if Jesus is in our heart. Because if he has changed me, if he lives within me, will I not be concerned about the things he's concerned with? I believe the answer is yes. I will be concerned about the things he's concerned with. So, the problem's not Jesus. The problem's not the supernatural power of God. The problem's not the power of the Holy Spirit. The problem is me. The problem is us. The problem is allowing the Holy Spirit of God to fill us. Number one, will we ask for that? Will we ask for the Spirit of God to infill us every day, to empower us to see things through Christ's eyes? It's easy for me to see a situation at Walmart, and it's real easy for me to think negative. It's real easy for me to say, I'll tell you, I wish they'd get a job, and I wish they'd whatever, and those things that whiz through my mind, that comes easy. But it's a little bit harder to say, what if they're lost, and what if they're going to hell, and go over and offer them a hand? Will I allow the Holy Spirit to work through me, even at Walmart? I was standing in line the other day. I'll tell you a quick story, and I'm going to move right on. And here come a lady, and she was in her house coat, and she had rollers in her hair, and she had on her house shoes. And she walked up to that counter, and I was at the pharmacy, and I'm thinking, I'm in line, and I'm doing my business, and I'm being nice. And she said, excuse me, I need to see a manager right now. I looked around and I thought, lady, you better get behind me. Get back there in that line where you belong. First thought. Here come her son. If my daddy was telling this story, he'd say he didn't have enough sense to get him out of the rain. So I'm saying that's what he'd say. And I'm thinking, what are these people doing? I'm trying to get the whatever medication. And man, she just does it again. Beats on the counter. Excuse me, I need to see a manager. And it was all I could do for just a short period of time to say, I'm going to tell you something, what you can do. Get back there and hush. Wait your turn. And then, it's like the Holy Spirit said, you don't know what she's been going through. You don't know what she's been through before she got here. Who do you think you are to have those thoughts? And it was like, excuse me, this is the Holy Spirit, Ron. I am your manager. It's like, wow. And I didn't just ignore, she just kept going. I mean, it's like a circus. But my attitude changed. It was like, you're right. God, I don't know what she's been through. I don't know what she's going through. And by the looks of it, it's been a whole lot. So, Lord, help me. Will we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us and live through us in some silly situation at Walmart? Will we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and work through us in life with the spouse, with the children, with the family of God, with the people we work with, that they can see Jesus through us? Sometimes the problem is simply we will not allow Him to live through us. Not saying we're not saved, but I'm saying we got saved, and sometimes that's a comfort to us, and that's just that's all we want. And the Holy Spirit's trying and knocking and trying to speak, and the thing about it is sometimes we just simply don't listen. We just simply don't allow Him to. And I'm praying that we will allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And if Jesus lives in us and the Holy Spirit lives in us, then He can speak through our lips. He can use you. The things you say may be something that the first you want to say to the lady in the curlers and the house coat, but then the Spirit checks you and you know better, you don't say that. Then He, the Holy Spirit, can speak through your lips into a situation to bring hope. If Jesus and the Holy Spirit's living in us, then He can give through our hands to the ministry at Jones Chapel, to the ministry around the world, to whatever the needs are, and we can see through His eyes. Well, to win the world to Jesus, we've got to have a passion for lost people. What did Jesus say? He said to have a church council, a board of trustees, a board of CE. He said to have a certain color carpet, to sing certain style of songs. He said to play the piano this way or play the drums or play the guitar or do this or do that. He said, no, He didn't say much of that about any of that. What He said is, I want you to love Me with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to spread the gospel, this good news, to lost people around the world. And to do that, you're going to have to make prayer a priority. You're going to have to be a disciple and continue to grow. And you must make evangelism essential to reach people that are lost and going to hell. And it's still the same today. Seek and save that which is lost. That's what He came for. That's His passion and purpose. So we need to fall in line with that. So what are we going to seek? What are we going to find? What is our purpose and our vision and our mission going to be? Well, I think we've covered that. If we don't tell the gospel, who will? In your workplace, you say, well, there's three of us and we're Christians. And there's about 20 at work there. So three of us are Christians out of 20. Who's going to tell the story if we don't? Well, some group's going to tell the story. Muslims, they're telling their story. They're not shy about it. Feminist groups tell their story. The new one on the block, I guess, for me, is the transgender group of people who are telling all their story. They're not holding back telling a story they believe in. What about Christian people? Will we tell our story? Will we tell the world that Jesus Christ loves them? Will we tell the gospel story? I pray that we will, and make evangelism essential. Satan knows we're in a spiritual battle. He knows his time is limited, whatever that is. He has an end. Well, will it be next week? Will it be 3 years from now? Will it be 30 years? Will it be 1,000 years? I can't tell you when it'll be, but I know that there is a time coming when Jesus will split the eastern sky, when the end will be the end, and when Satan will be bound forever and forever, and his end is near. Whether it's 1 year or 1,000 years, he will be cut off. He is defeated, and we will be in heaven with the Lord God himself. The saved, the redeemed people will be in heaven forever and forever and forever. And the devil knows it. So he causes as much havoc as he can. He tries to stir up. He tempted Jesus while he was on the cross. He tempted Jesus. If he's going to do that, he'll tempt us. What did Jesus do? He stayed on purpose. He stayed on mission. He carried out the vision that his Father told him to. And he stayed on that purpose, and we must do it. Well, I don't believe the devil cares if we do some good things. He's not too worried about that. But when the church, when individuals become soul winners, then you better hold on. Because then the devil does attack, and we've got to be in tune with God. We've got to be ready. We've got to know, what good is it for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Is it worth your brother or your sister getting saved? Is it worth your co-worker getting saved? Is it worth you having to walk through the pits of hell for a while? Is it worth somebody slandering you around the community? Is it worth them telling you what a no good person you are, or even starting lies and trying to convince people of this and that? Is it worth it if in the long run they get saved and go to heaven? My answer is yes. It'll be worth it. Well, a lot to do. How much time to do it in? Who knows? Somebody said efficiency is doing things right, and effectiveness is doing the right things. We do good stuff. We do the right thing sometimes. But if it's not leading people to God, I wonder if we don't need to change a few things. Peter and Andrew, Jesus said, "Follow me." They stopped fishing, and they followed him. And that's what they did. Paul persecuted Christians, trying to wipe them off the face of the earth. On the road to Damascus, a big light was in his eyes, so to speak, and blinded him. And then he was just as much on fire for the things of God. That's a good movie if you hadn't seen it. The Apostle Paul. So the next slide says, do we have a passion for lost souls? Do we have a passion for lost souls? Really? Well, I'm the preacher. You know I do. I'm the Sunday school leader. I'm the chairman of some board in the church. Or I do this or I do that. That's all well and good, and I'm glad we do those things. But a preacher can preach and not have a passion for souls. A congregation can come and attend and go to Sunday school and do the things that we think is right for church and not have a burden for lost people. So today, I want us to have a greater burden, whatever that is, for lost souls. That's the business we're in, is soul winning. And we need to be about it. So what's motivating us? What is happening? I'm telling you, I still can't get over Easter, the glow-in-the-dark egg hunt. I still can't get over the people in that Family Life Center. So many different colors, Choctaw Indians, African Americans, white people, Mexicans. They were more people in there on that Friday night. And the 18 years that's been in this church total that night. There's people I'd never seen. I wondered where they come from. And I started looking at car tags, and some of them was in Neshoba County. Some of them was whatever. And I thought to myself, God, now what are we going to do with all these people? We was going to hunt eggs. We was going to do all that. But I just simply said to Katie very gently and very kindly, Katie, I'm going to start tonight. And it was very short. It was very sweet. But it was very to the point. It was Jesus. And that's why we're here. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you on Calvary. That's what we're celebrating at Easter. And no matter where you've been, what you've done, whatever the history is, Jesus Christ died for you and loves you. Same story. We've got to tell the story. That's the business we're in. Well, we often get on all kinds of things and churches and what motivates us and how much is it going to cost. And yes, there's a limit to how much we can spend and all that. But the more concern we have about lost souls, I believe the more money that God will give us to have those ministries we need. So I don't know what's motivating us exactly, but it needs to be lost souls. It needs to be refreshed in our mind that yes, people are really going to hell, and we can't lose sight of that. So we need to win them, and we need to renew our passion to do that. You remember the story when Abraham stood before the Lord, and he says, if I can find 50, will you not destroy the land? If I can find 40, will you not destroy the land? How about 20? And it kept going on down, and the Lord didn't destroy the land. Listen to me, husbands in here today. The men of the church, you need to be standing before the Lord for your wife every day. Women, you need wives, women, what you need to be standing before the Lord for your husband. And families, mom and dad, stand before the Lord for your children and make prayer a priority for them. Because the world is wicked, we know that, but we serve a risen Savior. We need to stand for our own families and then those that are lost too. Last slide of the day says, how do we develop a passion for lost souls? How do we do that? You say, well, my burden used to be greater than it is today. Or maybe you're saying, you know, God's really convicted me over that, and I've been having a burden for the last year. I don't know where you're at exactly, but we pray. And we ask God to increase our soul burden. We pay attention and know that there's more to life than getting up and drinking a cup of coffee and going to work and doing our job and coming home and then running to every activity under the sun and the moon. And then the next day we're doing all that stuff again. There's more to it. And we're placed here to be an ambassador for Christ. We're placed here to tell people the gospel story. And then we allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. You know, we'll pray. Okay, I can do that all by myself. You don't have to see me. I can be alone outside on the porch. I can be down in the woods. I can be in my recliner. I can be right here at the altar. I can be in my office. I can pray. And I can pray for me. I can pray for other people. I can pray for the lost and all that. But then allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. That's when the Spirit says, okay, I want you to go talk to whoever. I want you to tell this story. I want you to just be a friend and be there. I want you to love somebody in a hard time and hard situation. Then we have to do something. And what will help us do that is to visit Calvary also. Easter was just a few weeks ago. Just a few weeks ago, and we had images in our mind, and we saw the cross. As E.V. Hill used to say, a black preacher on TV, I don't know if you ever watched him, but he'd say, at the cross! Ah! Couldn't be a cross. It was at the cross! Ah! And you know, I just enjoyed listening to him for some reason. That's free. But at the cross, that's where we need to visit. We need to still see Jesus as he hung on that cross. We need to see Jesus with his arms stretched out. You know, it's a good thing they left that here today, isn't it? I knew I could use it some way. And can you imagine the hand, the wrist, and the nail going through that, and then the feet down here? nails going in that. Can you imagine how hard it was to breathe and the pain that Christ went through? And why did he do all that, by the way? For you and for me, for this whole world. He died for us to save us from sin. Then they took him down off that old cross and put him in that tomb or cave or burial spot. And he arose on the third day. Not on the cross anymore. He appeared to a bunch of the disciples and folks and witnessed to them. Then he ascended into heaven. And he did all that, that people can be saved. Somebody was singing this morning, oh, the love of God. You know, I don't deserve it. You know, I can't be good enough to get it. But oh, the love of God. He did it for us. This morning, I'm asking you to answer the question between you and God. Back to that January and first of the year stuff. Am I loving the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind? I want you to answer that. If the answer is no, I want you to come to this altar and say, God, here I am today. I'm not loving you with all my heart, soul, and mind. You're not first in my life. I'm just simply going through the motions of church, and I confess that to you today. And I'm going to get on the right track. And you may be living right at the foot of the cross, and you don't even need that step. You might be here and say, well, I've not even been saved or anything. You do need that step. He'll save you if you ask. And if you're in right relationship with God, I'm asking you to bring your lost loved ones to the Lord. I'm asking you to be like Abraham and stand before the Lord and say, Lord, if I find 50, if I find 40, all that. But I want you to get before the Lord and say, here, I'm standing for my wife today. I'm standing for my husband today. I'm standing for my family today, God, and I need your help that we'll be the individual, the family, the church, or whatever, that will be a soul-winning station. Here I am saying, increase my soul burden. Bring your relatives to the altar today and pray for them. Maybe we need to say, God, renew my passion for lost souls. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Would you stand with me? Our Father in heaven, you are so good to us. The great plan of salvation you had decided many, many, many years ago, that you had it all under control and that you was going to send Jesus, the perfect, sinless, spotless, sinless Lamb of God to save us. And we're thankful. Where would we be today without the grace and the mercy and the love of God? We don't even want to think about it. And Father, today, no matter what relationship we have with you, if we've never been saved, you'll save us today. If we're here and we're backslidden, you'll restore us today. If we're here going through the motions and don't have any passion anymore, it seems, you will renew our passion today. If our soul burden for other people around us has been very low, you'll renew it today. If there's members in our family and our friends and our co-workers that are lost, we can bring those names to you today and ask for your divine intervention. So, Father, again, we thank you. We praise you for what you've done in our individual lives and our family, what you're going to continue to do, and, Father, the people you want us to speak to make evangelism essential. We must be right with you, and we must have a greater soul burden. So here we are standing in the very presence of Almighty God. And we don't take that lightly today. On your mission, your purpose, help us to fulfill our individual part and our part as the body of Christ at Jones Chapel, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.